In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These things I have spoken to you that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you, they will kill you, and they will do all these things, believing that they are giving fitting glory and praise to God. The Lord warns his disciples of what it is that will happen upon receiving the gift and power of the Holy Spirit. There is the good news that they will go forth and proclaim, and the success of their proclamation precisely because of the intimate relationship that they will now share with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit who has been bestowed upon them. But with this great gift of the Holy Spirit and the responsibility to proclaim the truth, will also then open them up to being persecuted, to being expelled, to being mocked, and to being ridiculed. The Lord tells them this, as he says, not only that they might remember that they were given this exhortation, this admonition, this warning, but also that when it comes, they can endure that which actually will come upon them. The Lord knows that the reception of the Holy Spirit endows them with grace put out upon grace, but as we also know, grace builds upon nature. There is a requirement then for us to cooperate with the things that God bestows upon us. Meaning simply, brothers and sisters, persecution is real and true. Being mocked and ridiculed and even possibly being put to death are things that may transpire. Not merely prophetic utterances from our Lord 2,000 years ago, but the reality in which we find ourselves even in this very day. It is hard to contemplate, as I'm sure it was hard to contemplate for the disciples, that anyone would do physical harm to them. But the Lord, again, because of what he himself has already endured, and by outpouring the Holy Spirit upon his disciples, makes very clear that these things can possibly happen. The response is not one of scandal, it's not one of fear, it is one of confidence and trust in the Lord. And in truth, there is no reason why we should not trust the Lord and find our confidence and our strength in him. And the real question is why, when we are confronted with difficulties, that we immediately forget all the blessings that God bestows upon us. When temptations may assail us, when persecutions become real and true, when we are mocked not just by society and culture, but mocked by the very church that we love, maybe even by family and friends, because how we have chosen to worship our God. In those moments, do we crumble under that pressure? Or do we find ourselves being able to remain constant and steadfast with the Lord? These are not rhetorical questions, but ones that we must ask ourselves, especially now as we stand a week from today on the threshold of having revealed to us what our future actually will be. There are all indications that things will continue for us as they have been now, and blessing poured out upon blessing. But I do not know the future. And I nor you can divine the minds of men. And therefore, we always must be prepared not only for the blessings that God will bestow upon us, but whatever sufferings and sacrifices we may be asked to endure. The responsibility to those will not be to give up, or to become anxious, or to become fearful, or to become worried, or become overwhelmed. Those are natural emotions, and on a natural level, they make perfect sense. If you were only natural creatures, but you're supernatural beings by virtue of the baptism you've received. And by virtue of that baptism, you've been drawn into intimate relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit, who will be poured out upon you, is poured out upon you, precisely to give you the strength you need, not only to endure, but to overcome, and to triumph. If indeed there is new life in the mystery of our Lord's cross, if we know there comes life after death, if we know that there is vindication in suffering, because all these things our Lord himself endured, then we know that these are realities for ourselves as well, if we can do this with the Lord. When I listen to our gospel, I am comforted by the fact that I too am always warning and preparing. Sometimes always seemingly the only thing I say is us against them and how difficult the world actually is. But God saw fit to prepare his disciples. How can I do any less in preparing you? But let's be very clear. Our preparation comes not from any type of defeat or any resignation or any fear. It grows out of love and a constancy and a faith in the power of God. Brothers and sisters, we need not only look at the blessings that God bestows upon us in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, but the manner in which our community has continued to grow over these last 5 years since we have arrived here. We have met with many serious difficulties, things that seemingly were impossible to overcome, and yet we are still here. That is, on one level, a testament to each of us remaining steadfast, but more importantly, it is a clear manifestation of the power and the favor of God, not because we are worthy or deserving of that favor, but because God does indeed love us. And those who seek to love him in return in the manner that he best desires to be loved are blessed with grace poured out upon grace. Peace, comfort, joy, and strength. These are always the things that God provides for us. And as we contemplate in these days, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the glories of our Lord's ascension, it is even made more clear to us the depth of God's love for us. His ascension into glory is not only a returning to the place from which he came, but the taking up of humanity into the Godhead itself, and then preparing a place for us that where he is, we may also be. This life that we live here on earth, and all the blessings and the goodnesses that are attached to it, pale in comparison to the glories of new life that wait for us, that are indeed there for us, if we can only remain steadfast now and always. And so vigilance and preparation, being on guard, being safeguarded by the grace and the power of God, these are good things to contemplate. But do so first, last, and always out of love. Love for a God who has so completely loved you that he has given you new life. A God who so deeply loves you that he has drawn you completely unto himself. A God who loves you so perfectly that he gives you the fullness of himself, that you are never alone, never bereft, never orphans. And then armed with all the blessings and the love that God gives you, remain steadfast in the face of any difficulties, any sufferings, and any sacrifices, knowing always and forever that new life comes not only with dying with our Lord, but the new life that he presides and gives to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.